This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Hey everybody, Kate Delaney here. I am, yes, in Florida, yes, in the middle of Hurricane Ian, yes, concerned, yes, it's scary and intense. There is no question about it. The surging water, the storm, what happened when it hit landfall, when you look at Port Charlotte and really Naples getting buried because it's just smashed into Naples right away. There was even an interview I saw with the Naples mayor where he was doing the interview from the flooded city hall because it was flooded. They couldn't stop it. So there are people on first floors that had to be evacuated. Hopefully they all got out. And people even on second floors that were close to the water, and it's just not a good situation at all. One of the five worst storms it's been called ever in our history. That certainly tells you something. I lived in Texas for quite some time, moved to Florida less than 5 months ago, and yes, I knew the threat of hurricanes. Yes, I know the danger in all the places that I've lived. I always talk about the wicked curveball that is Mother Nature. We evacuated from our kind of coastal area, and I'm glad we did, but of course we're still in the middle of this and not out of danger as this thing is moving, and because I'm also now in the central part of the state, it's coming in that direction as well. All the theme parks were closed, naturally. The airport's down, so forget in and out of Orlando or Tampa. That's not happening. It's scary to watch if you see wires going down, power outages. This was known to, of course, going to happen. You're going to have the wires go down when you have those high winds. I'll tell you my personal experience. I took the dog out for a quick walk. Normally, Guinness and I would go maybe 3 miles, but I knew that was going to happen. This time, it was just going to be kind of a quickie walk. It turned out to be a block, and I really thought he was going to be like Toto. He's just about 40 pounds, I'll say, and I thought he was going to just go flying in the wind. And this is before everything hit, where it's 40 miles an hour. So this is serious, serious stuff. Really pray for us and think good thoughts and send them our way, because it is awful, awful to see the astonishing things that are happening. It's set to probably be one of the costliest storms in our history. The good news is that once the storm passes, once it goes through Florida, peters out, let's hope, in Georgia and maybe Charlotte, Charleston, and then that's that for this storm anyway. They're very prepared. DeSantis, the governor, is prepared. Biden and DeSantis working together, their administrations, there will be aid and help for people, but you don't know what form that's going to take and how long that's going to take, because you know, what is the damage? And then especially the power being out is tricky. Think of how we communicate through cells, even with power sources and that kind of thing. So will cell towers even go down? We've seen that happen before, and the power trucks are ready. I saw them on my way heading north in Florida. The power trucks are positioned in Orlando and just outside of some of this damaging areas like Naples, etc. But they can't go in until after the storm has passed and the water has receded. And, you know, we had the nationwide power outage in Cuba. Winds 120 miles an hour, then slamming into Naples, Florida in the afternoon and strengthening and bringing 6-foot storm surges into Tampa Bay and heavy rains across the southeast of the U.S. Right now, if you look at damages and economic losses, I mean, it probably could exceed $45 billion is the number I keep hearing if this sticks with the current, you know, with what the current forecast is, because, of course, that could change too. And we saw what happened with the flooding in Kentucky. And, I mean, it's been a doozy of a year, right? Our hearts went out to the people of Kentucky, the heat wave that killed people in Spain, the drought in the West, the hurricane catastrophe, the damage from that, from Puerto Rico to Canada, the last one, Fiona, and now here we go. We have Ian, and like I said, I am in the middle of this thing, and I'm watching it, and I have to tell you, it is very, very scary. I'm with family, and we're doing everything we can, and we evacuated areas that we thought were tricky, and we're in a tricky area, too, but it's just watching and waiting and paying attention to what's going on. And, of course, the Federal Emergency Management Agency, they've sent 700 people to the state. The governor's activated 5,000 troops from the National Guard, another 2,000 from other states. You got people that evacuated from Florida's Gulf Coast, where I was. The good news is I really believe a lot of people heeded that advice to get out, and I think that was a really smart thing to do ahead of this, because we see just what the turn is. We see what it's like, and you know, beaches that I was walking on a few weeks ago, friends visiting, the Sunshine Skyway Bridge, which is an iconic bridge, and looking at it where it looks nothing, it looks like Legoland, like someone put it together because of the water and because of how the water has risen and, you know, and whatnot. And this is what I say, we get the whiplash from Mother Nature, and here I'm in the middle of it, so I completely relate and understand what has happened to people and that worry, and worried about family and what you have to do when you're caught in one of these things. That's for sure, no question about it. I do want to remind everyone, sorry we didn't have a Nail the Score this time around, but of course I was in the middle of Ian, so that was impossible. But next Tuesday, fingers crossed, in our first hour, last segment, we will be back to Nail the Score, which means that I'll pick the game of the week in the NFL. You tell me who you think's going to win and what the final score is, and you could win some fabulous prizes. You don't have to know anything, by the way, about the NFL. Nothing. You don't have to know anything. You just have to want to play a game and have some fun. And I think we do want that. I think a lot of us want that to happen. So it's a good way to escape and have some fun on the show, because we obviously attack what we're talking about in this country, and so much of it is really heavy, heavy stuff, right? There's no question about it. We have big concerns with inflation and maybe the dreaded R word coming into play, and hopefully not. Hopefully we don't see that, but it's the world we live in. It's the supply chain. It's the dealing with the remote work versus being there in person work, and all of that in between. And like I said, that is where we're at this point. Hey, coming up on this show, we're going to talk to We're going to talk to a couple of really, really interesting people this hour that I think are some of the best people that I've talked to this year, and you'll enjoy that. You know, I have such a soft spot for authors, and part of the reason why is because I think everybody has a story, whether it's your story, whether it's a novel, whether it's something that is a suspenseful crime sort of story, or a children's book, or maybe it's inspirational, whatever the story is. I really admire anybody who has the chutzpah, borrowing a word from my Jewish friends, has the chutzpah to put it out there. And I encourage you to do that if you do have a book. But we're talking to some great people coming up next here on the show, so stay with us, hang on, we're coming back.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
If you're like most Americans, you're pretty much in disbelief with what's going on in the world. As we all know, global problems are having local consequences. Too many of them. And if the peanut butter really hits the fan, are you ready? Grocery store supply chains are only as strong as their weakest link. Don't wait for them to break. Now's the time to secure emergency food for everyone in your family. My Patriot Supply is America's largest preparedness company. Our specially packaged and delicious food stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. It'll be there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and pick up several emergency food kits. There are a dozen different sizes that average over 2,000 calories per day. Our food kits will ship quickly and discreetly to your door. Having food storage in your home beats government food lines hands down. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today and prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Hey guys, why settle for poor quality Powdy Arco that's sold by stores and online resellers when you can get Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Powdy Arco Super Tea at drinksupertea.com or 818-965-9113. The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Powdy Arco Super Tea is only available at drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com.
Ever feel completely down on your luck, whether it's your career or just your life? Do you look at other people and wonder, why them, not me? I'm Kate Delaney. I did it. I admit it. I've learned some valuable and priceless lessons from some of the rock stars I've interviewed over the years, like Sir Richard Branson or the late, great John Madden, and I want to share them. Want to laugh? Want to learn? Want more out of life? Then pick up a copy of my book, Heal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary. Get it on Amazon today.
Monday night football game. Dallas Cowboys with Cooper Rush. He's now 3-0 as a backup quarterback for Dallas. Beat the Giants 23-16. Nobody nailed the score. So sorry. CeeDee Lamb made an incredible one-handed grab for a touchdown. That secured the win for the Cowboys. And Rush was great. He rallied to win, like I said, his third straight start as the Cowboys starter, you know, because Dak Prescott is injured. So how wonderful for him. This is a guy who was undrafted. Nobody was looking at him. He was a quarterback from Central Michigan. He went on waivers eventually at one point when first the Giants had him, and then he got picked up by the Dallas Cowboys, and it was to their advantage, obviously, and I think he'll get a lot of looks from some other people because he really plays well. He's pulled it together. He deserves those looks. So that's been pretty interesting to watch him evolve. And speaking of evolving, it has been a crazy 3 weeks in the NFL. You got to be kidding me. It started with Thursday Night Football, remember, when the Browns beat the Steelers. And Jacoby Brissett had 220 yards passing and a couple of touchdowns. The Bears barely beating the Texans, but they did beat them. They did beat them 23-20. It all takes was a kick in the fourth quarter. The Titans get by the Raiders. The Raiders are winless. So the Titans, 24-22. Derrick Henry, part of that story, he's just a machine. 20 carries, 84 yards, and a touchdown for Tennessee. The Chiefs lost to the Colts. The final score in that one, 20-17. Pat Mahomes, not the Pat Mahomes we know so much, really trying to scramble to make some things happen, but could not do it, but Matt Ryan in front of the home crowd as the new starter gets the win, and it wasn't pretty, but a win is a win, so the Colts pick up their first one. The Dolphins are a big story. They are 3-0. Tua, we knew you could do it. They beat the Bills. That is a big win, 21-19. There's some really frustrating moments, I think, for Josh Allen. A lot of players were out for the Bills, but that's no excuse. And certainly the Dolphins had their own challenges to contend with. Also, the heat, I think, was killer for the Bills. But the Dolphins deserve the win, and they outright won. So go Dolphins. Again, the flying fish. The Vikings, I can't figure this team out. Give me a break with the Vikings. Kurt who? Cousins? It worked this time in the end. 28-24, beating Detroit. So they pulled off the comeback win. I mean, that was really the story. It was a comeback win for them. The Ravens beat the Patriots 37-26. Lamar Jackson does it all. If he has to get in the end zone and score the touchdown, he will. So the fifth TD on him as he skedaddled into the end zone. And the Ravens are 2-1. The Bengals beat the Jets. The Jets got so high on their last win, I think they thought they were going to be able to nail this. Hardly. And it all worked out for Cincinnati. Like I said, 27-12. On the other side of the ball, Joe Flacco with a couple of interceptions. That made part of the difference. The Eagles, just like the Dolphins, in command. And they beat Washington, speaking of commanders. 24-8, Jalen Hurts. Could he be the real deal? 340 yards passing and three TDs. The Panthers beat the Saints. Oh, the Saints, what's going on, Who Dat Nation? 14 points they managed to score, not enough. The Panthers beat them 22-14. Jameis Winston looks so frustrated on the sidelines. Even though he passed for 353 yards and a touchdown, it was not pretty. Jacksonville could have found the groove, beating the Chargers 38-10. The fun game to watch. And you could look at a couple of different players, both on the ground, whether it's Robinson or Palmer in the air, that who was stopped, that even though he almost had 100 yards, that made the difference. You know, and once again, a one-handed grab in the end zone, leaping high. We saw that from Marvin Jones, and that gave Jacksonville an even more commanding lead. So good for him. The Rams beat the Cardinals 20-12. The defense getting hammered in all directions, but they survived and they made it happen. So they pick up a win. They're 2-1, the Super Bowl winners from last year. And the Cardinals are looking for that next win. The Falcons beat the Seahawks. Geno Smith really wanted to prove himself, but the Seahawks are now 1-2. He is the official quarterback this year, with Russell Wilson being in Denver. So 27-23, I'll say it again, that was the final score. Falcons pick up their needed first one. The Packers and the Buccaneers, this really was the big game everybody was talking about. Tom Brady, and Aaron Rodgers. And Tom Brady in the end, hello, clock management. Oh, I'm sorry. Time's running out, and not to mention time's running out, you killed the play clock. But I don't think that was the main thing here. There were also many targets that were out for Tom Brady. He had to deal with some serious injuries, and the Packers were able to take advantage. They survived, basically, to send off the Bucks in a very wild finish, 14-12. The Broncos, speaking of Russell Wilson, they also fended off a challenge at the end of this. This was a strange game, 11-10. So there you have it in the NFL. That's just a quick peek at week three. How could we already be in week three? How is this possible? Time just keeps on chugging along, right? Baseball, we're at the nitty-gritty time of who's in and who's out, and there's been some incredible things that have happened in baseball, including Aaron Judge, who is the home run superstar. He's homerless in a loss to the Blue Jays in 10-3-2, but he's sitting at 60, waiting to get to 61 homers in the season and more, but he's going to have to wait at least one more day to achieve that kind of feat. The Orioles bashed the Red Sox. They certainly did, a 14-8. So they cut that wild card deficit, which is key in what they're looking to do. The previous hour I mentioned the Nationals now officially have crossed the line of who cares. 100 losses this season. They were blanked by the Braves. 8-0. 8-0. Oh, and it was in Washington. Who is staying for that game? Only Atlanta fans or people who are waiting to catch trains somewhere else. And so it's better for them to just sit in the stands. Boo. That is a terrible, terrible record. And I guess you can only go up. That would be my message. We can only go up from here, and there's always next year, because you're going to have to look to next year. They're not going anywhere fast, my friends. And they know it. They know it. All right, in the meantime, just quickly, in college football, Texas Tech fined $50,000 for storming the field in overtime. You may have seen that. And they were reprimanded by the Big 12 Conference, too, because fans just ran into the field following an overtime win against Texas, which was really big and shocking, shocking from my point of view. But, hey, the Red Raiders are capable. They had the game-winning field goal, 37-34, their first at home in that series since 2008. So that's what happens. You get fined, you get publicly reprimanded. That's what they do when your fans go nuts. Because what happens is the Texas coach complains, Steve Sarkisian, and says, "I love the pageantry of college football, but when fans rush the field, it's dangerous for us as coaches on both sides. It's dangerous for the players." I don't think this is what we want to see. He didn't blame the fans for doing the whole celebratory thing, but said it would be good to find a better and safer way for everybody to be involved. I don't know, how do you do that? It's the emotion of the moment, coach, and it just makes people want to go immediately and run to the field. That's what happens. All right, I'll meet you on the flip side.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News.
I'm Tony Maruso reporting. In a recent personal essay on her website, Katie Couric says she was diagnosed with breast cancer in June on her 8th wedding anniversary. A 65-year-old journalist reveals she has since had surgery to remove a tumor, along with radiation treatments, and with her final round of radiation coming on Tuesday. She said she's feeling fine, and one of the points of the post is to remind people to get regular mammograms. She was 6 months late on hers because of the pandemic, and Roger Maris has now got company. Aaron Judge hit his 61st home run of the season Wednesday, tying Maris for the most homers in a single season by an American League player. Barry Bonds, Mark McGwire, and Sammy Sosa each passed Maris between 1998 and 2001, but because of their links to performance-enhancing drugs, many consider 61 to be the magic number and the all-time record. This is USA Radio News.
Did you know that you can easily be saving up to 90% on your taxes by simply making a phone call? That's right. The Fortune 500, the globalists, all the big billionaires and millionaires, they know about the loopholes written into the law where most of them pay almost zero tax. In fact, many of them pay no tax. You even see it on the news. How are they able to do that? But the common person can. So whether you're a school teacher, a lawyer, a scientist, a millionaire, a billionaire, or whether you're just a regular blue-collar worker, everybody should learn about the legal, lawful loopholes. And we've got an organization and a group that I am so proud to be working with, American Tax Solutions. GCN has a special deal with them to get you the best rates. Here's the most important part. They save you money and then get part of the savings. This is an absolute win-win solution. You've got to give them a call at 855-907-4841 or GCNTaxCut.com. That's GCNTaxCut.com. The only way you miss out is not making the phone call. Make it now.
I'm Ben Utek. I played high school, college, and pro football, helping my team win the 2006 championship. It was an amazing day, but it can't compare to the joy I feel every day with my loving wife and three beautiful daughters. My football career ended after I suffered my fifth concussion. Did you know that over a million athletes suffer a concussion each year? That includes boys and girls, every age, every type, and level of sport. It isn't always clear that a player has had a concussion, so parents, athletes, and coaches need to learn about concussion signs and symptoms. The American Academy of Neurology recommends athletes thought to have a concussion be immediately removed from play and not returned until assessed by a healthcare professional trained in concussion. This isn't just about sports. It's about your brain. When in doubt, sit it out. Learn more at aan.com/concussion. That's aan.com/concussion. A message from the American Academy of Neurology.
A memoir about life with men. Dr. Jennifer Embry joins us now. Boy, she's led an interesting life, that's for sure. And I have to say this right at the top, that I think some of our listeners and I myself am jealous of this because you live in Bramford, Florida, and you've got boxers, turkeys, Indian runner ducks, which I never heard of, and I guess you're doing some kayaking and having a lot of fun. Is that pretty accurate?
Oh yeah, I love it up here. It's even though it's in Florida, it's like real rural and kind of in the woods. So it's a nice break from any city living.
Yeah, there you go. So you have time to write a book, and you write this book. Tell us about the journey of writing the book. What made you decide you were going to do this?
Well, I experienced this incredible experience that happened to me, and I don't have any children or any family, and I'm worried if I don't tell my story, it's going to be lost forever. And I think it's just too important to just let it disappear.
So tell us about the story. What's the book about?
It's about how I received a new life, basically. And, growing up, I lived in a very chaotic, abusive family. And, the consequences were severe on me, where I experienced, drug abuse and alcoholism and promiscuity mainly was a big thing, and codependency. And after I had this life-shattering experience, my life was changed forever. And I just wanted to tell people about that.
Yeah, and in your book you talk about this. You talk about your father, you talk about his lifestyle, and you talk about eventually murder. So that had to be unbelievably traumatic.
It was like just getting punched over and over and over again. You'd wake up each day like, what terrible thing is going to happen today?
Right.
And it's really difficult.
So how do you recover from that? What did you do?
Well, I started thinking, this can't be normal. You know, people don't go around having their gay fathers murdered every day. And how can I just get through the day without such terrible anxiety? So I just started kind of exploring different options. And my second husband happened to be Jewish, and we were in graduate school together, and he said, I said, let's go out and do something. And he said, well, I can't date you because you're not Jewish. And I was like, oh, well, that's interesting. So he kind of just left my house, and then he came back about an hour later, and he goes, I don't care what my parents say. I still want to date you. So we started going out, and I started learning about Judaism, and I fell in love with Judaism. I learned all. I converted to Judaism. I had a formal ceremony, and I just immersed myself into it. And because I wasn't completely healed yet, I ended up getting a divorce from my second husband. And so I was alone, I was single, and dated a man from India who was Christian, and he was having trouble with his teenage son, so we decided to go to church. I started going to an Episcopal church and learning more about God on the other side. You know, in Judaism, we really focus on the Old Testament. The priest, obviously, focused on the New Testament. And I kept saying I'm going to prove that God doesn't exist. So we would sit down every week and go through the Bible, and I would try and convince the Episcopal priest that God doesn't exist. And for some reason, I just couldn't do it. And I found amazing experience, amazing coincidences throughout the Bible that predicted what would happen to Jesus on the cross, and the book of Isaiah, which happened, 500 to 1,000 years before Jesus actually walked on the earth. So these were remarkable to me, and I decided I will give my life to Christ. I can't deny this didn't happen. But I was still felt guilty because I was Jewish, and I thought, all the Jews are going to be mad at me. God's going to be mad at me. So I decided to go ahead and take my first baptism, I was infant baptized, but water baptism and communion, and then things really went crazy from there.
Right, so that belief helped you, right?
It kind of pushed me on my way.
And in the book, what's so interesting is you talk about where we started growing up in the 60s and 70s, and you're in an affluent suburb of Detroit and all the things, the chaos that happened, then your relationship with men. And in the book, you do a really clever thing. You write a letter to each one of them and then talk about, you know, how that brought you into this relationship with God that you're talking about now. What a clever thing. Was that cathartic to write those letters in the book?
Yes, and I wanted to also go kind of in reverse chronological order, like you're reflecting back on what happened. So I started it kind of in the present tense, and then each chapter, I kind of wrote each chapter as like a short story. I think it can kind of stand alone, and I thought that would be easy for readers. I've gotten critiques, though, that some people don't like the reverse chronological order. I kind of like it. It's kind of different, and it gives some perspective. But I feel like as we go back in time, it gets deeper and deeper into my tragedy, where I describe my dad's murder and all these kind of things.
Yeah. How old were you when that happened?
I was 27.
My
mom and dad, my dad was an attorney, a corporate attorney in Detroit, and they kind of got set up. Both their parents were wealthy and belonged to the country club, and they got my parents got set up by their parents to go on a date and ended up getting married. But my dad told my mom that he was gay, and that was in the late 50s at the time, which was not acceptable. But they went to a counselor or marriage, you know, counselor, whatever, psychologist, and they went to a couple sessions, and the counselor said, Phil, my dad was cured of his gayness, so it's okay to get married. So they got married, and initially, you know, in my real young years, we lived in a nice house, and my mom was like a typical 60s wife, but there would be these terrible screaming matches, and like, oh, it was terrible. And I know my mom found out, you know, my dad was probably having an affair or whatever, a gay affair. So it made her just crazy. And then we moved out to the country in a big English Tudor style house, and we had horses and dogs, and being in Detroit and Michigan in the winter, we had pretty bad winters, and my mom just kind of abandoned us. We were left with dirty dishes in the sink and animal feces on the floor, and my dad wouldn't come home for days. I was 10 or 12. My brother was 10 years younger. My sister was 2 years younger. And we were left, the children were left with no food, no heat, filthy feces, and ultimately the horses starved to death.
Wow.
And my mom would tell me, it's time to, you know, my dad would say, Jennifer, go out and feed the horses, and the 9 o'clock at night on a winter night. And I'd go out there, and there was no food to feed them. You know, the grain was gone, no hay. So I remember just standing in the barn for 10 or 15 minutes, however long I thought it would take to feed them, so my parents would think I fed them and go back in. And I still have nightmares today of that.
Wow. And you came out on the other side, and we don't want to give everything away about the book, but it is such a journey. A Drink of Water, a memoir about my life with men, Dr. Jennifer Embry. Thanks for sharing and coming on. You can get the book on Amazon and Barnes & Noble.
Thank you so much.
Do you have
those well-meaning friends who tell you what you ought to be doing with your life? I'm Kate Delaney. I have them. Occasionally I listened and I found myself stuck in dead-end jobs, relationships, and a life I absolutely did not recognize. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, I promise you, once you finish it, you won't let people tell you what to do anymore. Learn how to make bold moves that change the course of your destiny. The book is filled with stories that will make you laugh out loud and lessons you can apply right away. If you go to my website, katedelaneyradio.com, I have a steal of a deal. Check this out. Just $29.99 for both of my hard copy books. Deal Your Own Destiny, which I just talked about, and my girlfriend's gratitude journal. Perfect gift for girlfriends, wives, or any woman in your life. Again, both books, just $29.99. Click on special offer at katedelaneyradio.com.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from wallofire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Wallofire.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
A love for thoroughbred racing, as I have family members in racing. A couple of my cousins are trainers, and my uncle was a jockey. So it's really fun to have Roger Salvino on with us. Families bringing thoroughbred horse racing to Illinois. Families and thoroughbred horse racing. And this is a book that's a labor of love, I think, in a way, because Roger's father was a trainer. So, Roger, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Okay, if you give me your family's name, I probably know it.
Service. So it's John Service, and Joe Service is my uncle. He was a jockey out of West Virginia, and John Service had a horse called Smarty Jones that almost won the Triple Crown, just missing by a nose at the Belmont.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, it's really fun. I learned so much about thoroughbred horses and horse racing through different family members, for sure. So what made you write this book?
The reason I wrote this book is because my family's in the business, and I thought that there wasn't enough people interested in how the racing game is so important to the public and to my family. Right.
And how tough is the racing game? I think people don't understand what it's like to be in it.
Pardon me?
How tough is the racing game? What's it like to be you know, in the midst of a thoroughbred racing?
Well, I grew up in the business because my father started in working with horses, and he migrated into the thoroughbred industry because home is in Cicero, and there's a racetrack, in two racetracks adjacent to Cicero, Illinois. So my father was working on a farm with his uncle, who's from Italy, and he was working on a farm there, helping him pick weeds and help with the planting of the things that he was growing, the potatoes there, and et cetera. And the farm was adjacent to the racetrack property. So my father got interested because he saw all the people coming to the racetrack to see the races. So he went over there, and he was employed to help with the horses, although at that time horses were very popular in the area. People had horses in their on their properties for riding and for transportation. So that's how I got interested in them, through my father.
And what's it been like for you to be in racing?
Well, I started out with my father helping him with his horses because he had horses that he was training for a friend. And then he purchased a horse called Happy Knee, Happy Pilot, and got people interested in investing in the Happy Hour Farm. Gave him X amount of dollars to start the business, and he bought Happy Pilot, and which turned out to be a very good horse. And then he migrated to get more horses, and he started Happy Hour Farm, and he ended up having 10 or 15 horses. And one of the outstanding races he won with DeValue was a $50,000 race. It was a really popular race. And through the years there, my father's name was in the sports pages as a horse trainer and a part owner of some horses. So at that time, to have your father's name in the newspaper was a real big, big thing, because no one else that I knew of while I was going to school had any part of their, any one of their families in the newspaper. So the big thing was that your name, Salvino's, in the newspaper, and talking about my father and how he got in the business and the horses he owned and the jockeys he was using on all his horses, and that was very popular, and that's how I got interested in everything.
Did you have a favorite horse of all time that you've worked with, your father worked with, or you had, you know, you mentioned one, but that you really, really just liked and watched this horse race and grow into it?
Well, Happy Pilot, I would say, was the most popular horse there. He's a real big horse, and he was real easy to handle. That horse was popular with the people that worked for my father, and I just grew interest in the horse also. I was friendly with most of the horses there. As I was very young, I was walking the horses, calling them out after their training. But Happy Pilot was probably the most popular.
Yeah. What do you think, when you look at the horse racing industry now, it's been pretty tough. And keeping the interest there and getting people to want to be involved in thoroughbred racing, not families who want to, train horses.
Well, right. It's difficult for somebody, unless they know or are interested in watching races and wagering on the horses. They might get interested in buying horses. And I've had people that were interested in the business. They were friends of mine, and we started a stable, and we did very well. And as the time went on, we got rid of the horses that we had. We sold them, and they didn't want to go back into business. In fact, they moved out of Illinois. They moved to California, and that kind of broke up owning horses, because they would prefer to see what was going on, and the horses were running in Illinois, and they were in California. So that kind of ended that relationship.
Do you think the crowds were pretty interested in racing in Illinois? Because I think it's a loyal bunch there.
Well, when you really come down to it, what did people have for entertainment? They either went to the show, see movies, or they would go downtown and be on the lakefront, or there wasn't too many things that people were doing. They could go to the racetrack to see races. They could gamble legally on horses. And gambling, I'm sure they had gambling places that were illegal, but you could go to the racetrack and bid on horses. You could have dinner there. You could socialize, and you were treated with greatly at the tracks, because you come in here to be entertained, and that was a big factor at that time.
Yeah. What do you want people to take away from reading your book, Families Bringing Thoroughbred Horse Racing to Illinois, Families and Thoroughbred Horse Racing?
Well, anybody that would read the book would have a basic idea on horse racing, how important it is to the public, and how it serves the society with jobs and money and entertainment.
Yeah, and I agree with that. I think it's very entertaining, and it does serve a lot of jobs from all the things that go on behind what you actually see before the horses get to the gate and actually race. And you talk about being a kid and getting to walk the horses, and that's a job, taking care of the horses, grooming them, that's really big.
Oh, definitely. And here's the big factor. The racetracks have rooms for people that work in the industry. They have their families there, and that's a great help for the industry. They give jobs, and they're living right on the grounds. It's an industry with homes.
I like that, an industry with homes. Was it fun for you to write this book?
Was it difficult for me to write this book?
No, was it fun?
No, because I have so much background with the industry, and
yeah, so
my
just
family was in there, so I could write about my family a little bit, too, and myself.
Yeah, there you go. You wrote about your family, you wrote about yourself, so it wasn't difficult to write it. I say it's like a love letter to your family for sure, and I love thoroughbred racing, so I think it's terrific that you wrote about it. Roger Salvino, thank you so much for coming on. You can pick up the book on Amazon. Thanks.
You're welcome. Thanks for the interview.
My name is Milan Vukovic. 10 years ago, I got frustrated with the quality of Pau D'Arco tea sold in the stores. So, I founded the Pau D'Arco Tea Club that now ships our super tea to over 100 countries. You too can order or get info about the original pure Pau D'Arco super tea at www.drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113. Why settle for less when you can order original pure Pau D'Arco and drink super tea for only $34.95 per pound plus shipping? Each pound makes 300 cups, which is the equivalent of 12 cents per cup for the original pure Pau D'Arco super tea. Order now at www.drinksupertea.com. That's drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113.